When you flush the toilet or toss kitchen waste down the drain, where does it go? If you live in Anchorage, you may be surprised to learn it eventually ends up in Cook Inlet. As APRN's Lori Townsend reports, a recent visit to the wastewater treatment facility was an eye-opening education in what is and isn't taken out before it dumps into the water.
When you visit a wastewater treatment plant, it stands to reason that it will be smelly. Really smelly. But this time of year, part of the wafting aroma was a surprise.
Currently, we're in fish processing season. We have a lot of organic loading with fish waste.
Jeff Axman is the operations foreman for the Anchorage Wastewater Treatment Facility. He says fish waste is hard to handle.
They grind up their throwaway and send it down the sewer line, and some of our equipment has a hard time digesting, especially the bones. So we have a lot of plug-ups.
Garbage disposals cause treatment plant headaches, Axman says, and some cities have outlawed them because of it. Grease predictably plugs up lines. Disposable wipes are a more recent addition to the problem list. And Axman says those items, along with disposable diapers and feminine hygiene products, should all be disposed of in your garbage bin, not the toilet. Pharmaceuticals are also an emerging concern as people flush old medications.
This is an overall flow diagram of the waters that moves through the plant, coming in through the headworks and then being split off into the separate processes.
Axman talks through the basic sewage system. This time of year, about 28 million gallons per day are running through the plant. The Anchorage facility has a primary treatment permit. That means it's a strictly mechanical process, screening and settling out the solids, which are incinerated, then chlorinating the rest before discharging it into Cook Inlet. And although the majority of U.S. wastewater facilities have gone to secondary treatment, which uses highly pressurized air injected into the water to aid in microbial breakdown, like a massive jacuzzi, Assistant General Manager Brent Jokla says that's not likely anytime soon for Anchorage.
Because of the unique nature of this discharge from this community and Cook Inlet, which has such rapid tides and tidal currents, that disbursement is very quick.
By disbursement, Jokla means the flushing action of the big Cook Inlet tides hasten the dilution of the effluent. Jokla says fish waste may be a bony nuisance for filters, but Anchorage does not have the level of toxic waste more industrialized cities with steel making or chemical factories contend with.
So we're blessed, if you might say, with the fact that most of our sewage is from a domestic source, not an industrial source.
After the solids are screened out of the flow, the remaining fluid is sent to clarifiers, big concrete ponds, 16 feet deep in the center, where particles settle to the bottom and are collected for eventual incineration. The remaining water is chlorinated. Normally, the plant uses about 2,000 pounds of chlorine per day, but during fish waste season, Axman says, chlorine use peaks at 2,400 pounds daily. From the clarifiers, we head inside to trace the path of the separated solids. We watch diagonal rows of perforated stainless steel plates in a continuous rotation as Axman explains the process.
The plates come up through the wastewater. The water passes through the perforations and deposits all the material on the plates. When the plates drop over the backside, they're washed off.
The Environmental Protection Agency requires minimum or secondary treatment for wastewater under the Clean Water Act. The Anchorage plant has a waiver that allows it to use primary treatment. Jamie Stoddard is with the EPA. He says there are 9 primary treatment facilities in Alaska and only 35 nationally.
Anchorage is definitely one of the larger waiver facilities in the country. The majority of the facilities in Alaska are small communities. However, there are relatively large waiver facilities. San Diego is one example, and then actually Honolulu had a waiver just until recently, but that was actually recently denied. So Anchorage is a relatively large size waiver facility.
Honolulu has nearly 3 decades to make the switch. Brent Jokla with the Anchorage Treatment Plant says cost estimates to upgrade to secondary treatment are more than $500 million. But Cook Inlet Keepers Director of Advocacy Bob Shavelson says the context of the expense is important.
You know, we're throwing $500 million at a Port of Anchorage expansion project that's standing still right now. You know, we're looking at a rail spur to Port McKenzie that's probably going to be $500 million. You know, we've got these speculative projects that we're willing to throw a lot of money at, yet when we have a real tangible project that is important to have the latest technology, we refuse to spend it.
Anchorage got the first EPA waiver in 1981 and must reapply every 5 years. The last permit was issued in 2005, but the EPA's Stoddard says it's not unusual for science reviews for permits to take years. He says they are consulting with the National Marine Fisheries Service, but the presence of endangered belugas and critical habitat doesn't automatically preclude issuing a permit renewal. He says a preliminary decision will be made by the end of the year or early 2013, followed by a public comment period. In Anchorage, I'm Lori Townsend.